With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that sees two movies with something in common go head to head to see which one does it better. And welcome to part two of this week's Clash. So on Monday, we went back to 1995 to find out why you shouldn't try and adapt a graphically violent comic book into a family-friendly summer blockbuster with Tank Girl. And well, what do you know? Seems like we're learning the same lesson again. As also from 1995, Sly and Co. learn the hard way not to mess with Judge Dredd.
As a city, we continue to grow.
73 citizen riots.
Come and get us! Throw out your weapons and prepare to be judged! Judge this!
We'll have a winner at the end of the show, but which film will it be? Let's find out. It's Clash of the Titles.
The Kraken.
Hello, Clash Butters. Law! I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
I'm Chris Tilly.
Law! Right then, so it is Judge Dredd versus Tank Girl this week. My choices. Very quickly, though, before we get into this week's second episode, a quick reminder, if you haven't subscribed to us, please do subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and do leave us a rating and indeed a review. And if you leave a review, it might be read out on the show by Chris Tilly, a.k.a. Chris Thrilly, which sounds a bit like this.
From Bowman 3010. He says, I have one huge complaint about this show. It's costing me a fortune renting and buying awful films.
Yeah,
I've seen
too,
enough times to know how bad they are. Every week I tell myself in advance, do not rent these films. They are bad. Then as I listen to the fantastic commentary and opinions of these fabulous hosts, I inevitably end up buying or renting god-awful films. As I write this review, I'm currently watching Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes and I 100% blame Alex, Vicky and Chris. So I'm sorry about that, Bowman. Anyway, on to Sylvester Stallone's Judge Dredd.
Great stuff. Yeah, so these were, hey, Bowman, my choices this week because I wanted to go back. A bit of nostalgia, that heady summer of 1995, you know, music was great. Judge Dredd and Tank Girl were in the cinema. And I wanted to reappraise these films because I think it's important sometimes. They've got these reputations and, you know, is it right? Is Judge Dredd really that bad? We're going to find out. Come with us on this journey. So on Monday, Vicky was our guide through the colourful chaos of Tank Girl, which means that today I'm Rico to Chris's Dredd, which means takes on journey.
Through a secret genetic experiment, DNA is used to create the perfect human. But that embryo splits and twins are born. Unfortunately, one child got all the good DNA and the other got all the bad. That's the plot of 1988 comedy Twins. And it's also the plot of the 1995 Judge Dredd. Sylvester Stallone plays good twin Joe Dredd, a super cop who is judge, jury and executioner in a futuristic fascist state. And Armando Sante is bad brother Rico, who sets Dredd up for a crime he didn't commit, then spends the rest of the film elongating words so much that he practically doubles the runtime. Judge Dredd looks great, and fans might have forgiven the movie had the title character followed the golden rule and kept his helmet on. But it's off within 15 minutes, resulting in a film that failed as comedy, action movie, thriller and satire, but succeeded in killing a potential franchise stone dead. Twins is quite funny, mind. So when did you first see this film, Vicky?
I honestly don't know. I've seen it. It was on. I wasn't watching it in any considered way. So I would say this is my first. This is the first time I've watched it where I've had to be paying attention. Maybe it suffers for that.
Alex? Watched it as a kid, 1996, probably on video. And I remember loving it. I do remember really enjoying this movie. This was everything I loved like about movies as a teenager. It was big guns. It was dystopian wastelands. It was a cyberpunk city. So I thought this was great. And then I do remember not being, because I read 2000 AD as a kid. They were my brothers. And actually, my mum still thinks she shouldn't have let him read them. Because if you read 2000 AD, it's fucking dark. And he was like 11 reading 2000 AD. And then I borrowed them. But I remember knowing that Judge Dredd kept his helmet on, and I never really had a problem with him taking his helmet off in this. And so I wanted to watch it. And, you know, because I remember in 2000 AD, there was like the editor of 2000 AD kept updates, because this was pre-internet, of this movie being made and Sly Stallone being in it. And it really generated a lot of interest, you know, from 2000 AD readers, because they were really pro it. They were like, this is going to be good. The original artists or creators are involved, which we'll talk about because they weren't really. But yeah, I wanted to see it again.
I'm the same as you. I watched it, and the same as Tank Girl for me. I watched it in 1996 on video and did not like it.
Oh.
Same story.
You didn't like it?
No.
Okay.
So let's talk about the background to this film. Judge Dredd was the brainchild of writer John Wagner and artist Carlos Esquiera. It was designed to be Dirty Harry in the future. And interestingly, Wagner gave Esquiera the poster for the movie Death Race 2000,
oh, wow,
starring Sylvester Stallone, as a guide to how the strip should look. The character debuted in the pages of 2000 AD in 1977, and the combination of hardcore violence with cutting satire made the strip an instant hit, and not for children like little Alex.
No.
Very adult.
Slane was the one, the last comic strip in 2008. Did you read 2008?
A little bit. Not
Slane was the barbarian, the like Conan kind of character, and that was really dark.
It was exciting to read 2008 when you were a kid, though. You felt like you were reading something you shouldn't be, in a way that it didn't feel safe like Marvel and DC.
No.
The rights were optioned in 1983, and a film might have happened sooner had RoboCop not stolen Dredd's thunder in 1987 with its dystopian future, fascist subtext, and central character who is basically a cyborg Dredd. Paul Verhoeven allegedly gave the RoboCop writers copies of Judge Dredd to study, while in his review of the movie, science fiction writer Harlan Ellison wrote, "It's so clearly and shockingly a rip-off of the Judge Dredd comic strip." Alex, I know you're a RoboCop guy. Do you agree with that sentiment then?
Sort of. A little bit, actually, yeah. Apart from the fact that, obviously, RoboCop goes through that big arc of, you know, he gets his memory back and it's, you know, Judge Dredd has chosen to be this way, whereas RoboCop is a man reprogrammed to be a robot. So there is a kind of fundamental difference between them. So, no, I don't fully...
I guess that the violence and the humour, I think, is something that, you know, that Paul Verhoeven use of sort of that the satire that's in the comic Judge Dredd is in the movie RoboCop and does not make it into this film.
I mean, I certainly think the Detroit of RoboCop is, and the universe and the extreme violence of the gangs and the poverty versus the wealth in that Detroit is very much a mega city. So I think it's the environment. I don't think the character's the same, but I certainly think the world that he's built is very, very Judge Dredd.
A movie was eventually developed through Andy Vanya's production company, Synergy. Rennie Harlin and Richard Donner were apparently in talks to direct, but 26-year-old Brit Danny Cannon, who just had a minor hit with the Young Americans, ultimately landed the gig. We've done a Danny Cannon film on here before. He went on to make Goal.
Oh,
the football movie.
I wasn't here that week.
Yeah.
And he also did I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. But as I've said before, I believe he's our most successful director.
Yeah.
Even more so than Christopher Nolan. Because he helped create the CSI franchise, which is up to 797 episodes. It screens in 200 territories to an audience of 2 billion people. He makes a lot of money off the back of CSI.
And wasn't he involved with, was it Gotham or Pennyworth?
Both. Yeah, he does Gotham and Pennyworth, but they're not on the same level as the CSI franchise.
No, he's a big TV guy.
Yeah, big TV guy. And if I ever tell you the story, old listener who's asked about this, about when I got embarrassed myself in front of Danny Boyle, it involves Danny Cannon.
You've done that story on air before, haven't you?
No, I've been asked to do it.
Oh, my
God. I said I wouldn't. I've done it in the pub with you guys. I'll do it in the pub with everyone after the live show.
All right, good. Come to the live, but get a ticket for the live show, even if the show is bollocks. The pub will be brilliant afterwards.
If we can get into a pub, we're working on that. Yep. The film had a bunch of screenwriters until Terminator 2's William Wisher and Die Hard's Steven D'Souza ended up with the final credit. Arnie was thought to be playing the title role until Stallone ultimately donned the mask for a bit.
I wonder if that's true, because you know Arnie basically used to do that thing where he expressed interest in roles, because they were very competitive. He expressed interest in roles that he was never going to do and put it out there, and then Sly thought he was getting in and usurping Arnie, but Arnie never really wanted them. Stop or My Mum Will Shoot is a movie that Arnie said he was going to do and really wanted to do, and then Sly thought he'd nabbed it, only to find out it was a crock of shit.
Do you think, though, Vicky, that Arnie would have made a good Judge Dredd?
I know I'm not supposed to say stuff like this.
Doesn't care. Has never considered this before in her life.
They are fairly interchangeable at certain points to me in their careers. No?
The Arnie movie... supposedly was going to... I remember reading that Tony Scott might have directed
it.
And it was going to be Judge Death as the villain, the interdimensional judge who believes that life itself is a crime.
Okay.
I feel
big learning curve for you, isn't it, today?
That sounds awesome.
I genuinely feel like if Arnie had done it, we wouldn't have had the wisecracking Judge Dredd that we've ended up with. I think we would have
got that. Sorry.
He does. But as soon as he gets the Rob Schneider, he starts trying to do the Rob Schneider thing of doing wisecrack.
You shouldn't. Yeah.
No, he shouldn't.
Don't push
he
down.
Shouldn't. I think we would have got, I mean, it would have basically been the Terminator, but I think we would have got a more serious Dredd if Arnie had done it, because Arnie definitely wouldn't have teamed up with Schneider in that way.
I know, but Arnie was making... it was all about the one-liners with Arnie, so there would have been one-liners. I mean, it wouldn't have been the buddy relationship, the bickering that happens, but Sly doesn't... I mean, he sort of half-arsely engages in that, but it's all Rob Schneider improvising and, like... I mean, we'll get onto it, but it sounds like a lot of stuff Rob Schneider says in this movie was made up on the spot by him, got a massive laugh from the crew, and Danny Cannon's gone, well, that must be funny, I'm going to put it in, without thinking about the fact that it totally fucks the tone of the movie and doesn't really fit with the scene. But because the crew were laughing, it's like, totally funny.
Yeah, people who are paid to be there are laughing.
It's like the bit where he does a Sly Stallone impression when he goes, I'm the law.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, that's...
takes you out of everything.
Yeah, because it's not a Judge Dredd impression.
No. It's for Saturday Night Live. Mm. Go back there. It's interesting watching and reading interviews about this film at the time compared to interviews with the people now.
I bet.
So I've got some contrasting quotes. So Vanya at the time said production was going as smoothly as anyone could hope. Regarding Sylvester Stallone's rapport with director Danny Cannon, he said, I've never seen Sly as close to his director before. Stallone at the time called it an extremely serious drama that has a lot of poignancy. He said he wanted to make a picture like this since seeing Blade Runner, and spoke of his plans to make more Judge Dredd movies, stating that he couldn't wait to get stuck into the 25 years of comic stories. Cut to 20 years later, and Stallone's tone has changed somewhat regarding the movie. The famous quote he gave was that he said, I knew we were in for a long shoot when, for no explainable reason, Danny Cannon, who's rather diminutive, jumped down from his director's chair and yelled to everyone within earshot, fear me! Everyone should fear me! Then jumped back up to his chair as if nothing had happened.
Which is how Chris starts every show.
I did that halfway through our first record, but it didn't seem to have any effect on you.
You got to believe that's true. I believe that's true, because it's just such a weird thing to make up. And it's like, but at what point? It's the fact that he gets back into his chair as if nothing has happened makes you think that people just sort of shrugged and he'd expected something to happen, which is worse. They go, fear me! Everyone should fear me! Nothing? No one? Nothing? All right, I'll be over here.
And another dig at Cannon, Stallone said, I believe objects rot from the head down. Draw your own conclusions. He then starts to mix his metaphors when talking about the film. He said, it probably should have been much more comic, really humorous and fun. What I learned out of the experience was that we shouldn't have tried to make it Hamlet. It's more Hamlet and eggs.
Whoa, that's your kind of humour.
I don't get it.
It's a pun.
Yeah, is it?
It's weird.
What's Hamlet and eggs? What's Hamlet and eggs? It doesn't mean anything.
I actually don't know.
It doesn't mean anything. He also, as I said, I was going to say, he also compared it to a feathered fish, although I can't figure out why.
It's weird, isn't it? There are two things going on here. Like, Stallone is basically going, a lot of this is Danny Cannon's fault. But by all accounts, like, Danny Cannon wanted to make, as we'll get into, because I've got some quotes from D'Souza about this, Danny Cannon wanted to make an R-rated movie. Mm. And it was Stallone who, in his head, was like, no, it needs to be funny. It needs to be a comic book movie. And so it was this sort of mishmash of ideas that totally screwed the film, because tonally it's completely off. But Stallone never really acknowledges that. He doesn't accept that he sort of screwed it by trying to make it funny.
He didn't know Judge Dredd when he got involved. He obviously wanted to make a comedy action movie. He should have done it with a new character or a different character, not with this character. As John Wagner said, the story had nothing to do with Judge Dredd, and Judge Dredd really wasn't Judge Dredd, which isn't ideal on a Judge Dredd movie.
Yeah, he said, have you got the bit where he talks about the fact that they weren't involved at all? Because it was all about how 2008 was like, the creators are totally involved, and then the creators sort of went, it seems that they wanted us to be involved with no remuneration. So yeah. Weird how we didn't have any input after they offered us no money.
Yeah, I think they offered them some money, but it was such a small amount, and they got some amazing agent involved, and he couldn't seem to up the number, and so they just at some point, it was a super agent, and the studio just was not interested, because I guess they didn't want them hanging around. They wanted to do whatever the hell they wanted to do and use their name on it.
It's weird. So you say D'Souza got involved. I've got my first little D'Souza clip. It's it's about 45 seconds long. It relates to a scene later on, but this seems like the best place to play because it's about Danny Cannon, because D'Souza was a big 2000 AD fan. And apparently Danny Cannon was claiming to be this huge 2000 AD fan, and that everything in the movie, no pun intended, was canon. And so any decision he made, he was like, that is in the comics. And D'Souza keeps calling him out on it. This is the clip of D'Souza talking about that.
And then, speaking of Cannon, Danny Cannon, he wanted a very dark, 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 gritty vision. He would be increasingly annoyed whenever I would totally innocently say, that's not in the comic. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just going to listen. And so the people in the room would realize he'd been telling them for months, something was in the comic, but it wasn't. So his frustration with me couldn't be made more clearly by the fact that in the scene where Sly stops a drunk driver in a flying car,
yeah,
which I wrote, but now he says, "Well, Mr. D'Souza, this is your third violation." So that was his payback to me by making the asshole in the movie me.
Making the asshole in the movie me.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's me chuckling along the background. That's an interview I did for my other podcast, Just the Facts with Alex Zane, if you'd like to listen to that as well.
Thank you for that, Alex. Should we talk about the movie then?
Yeah.
Let's kick off with Act 1 of Judge Dredd. We get some comic panels over the opening titles, and then it kicks off with James Earl Jones.
How weird is this?
Yeah. What have they done? It's his voice, I should say, doing voiceover. Have they looked at the Star Wars crawl and thought, how can we make it like Star Wars but different? We'll have the crawl, but we'll get a Star Wars actor to do the voice.
You think, I can't wait to see him again later.
It's just unbelievable. You've got Max von Sydow there,
yes,
who should do this voiceover. Great voice, great presence, could deliver this. It's like, nah, James Earl Jones. We just saw him walking down the corridor at the studio. We're like, James, do you want a quick paycheck? Read this.
So he explains that it's the third millennium. Climates and nations are in upheaval. The earth has transformed into a poisonous, scorched desert known as the Cursed Earth. Millions of people have crowded into a few mega cities where roving bands of street savages created violence the justice system could not control. Law as we know it collapsed. From the decay rose a new order, society ruled by a new elite force, a force with the power to dispense both justice and punishment. They were the police, jury, and executioner all in one. They were the judges.
A sentence no one has ever said. Rewrite it. Just because you think you've nailed something here, it's like, oh, because they do execute people. Judge, jury, can't have judge, because they were using that at the end. They are the judges. Police, jury, and executioner. It doesn't work. No, I can make it work. Can you? Yeah. Police, jury, and executioner. They're the judges. No, it still doesn't work. I'll put it in.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
James will sell it.
It's judge, jury, and executioner. And it just always will be.
They build them up, though, and then rather than introduce us to the judges at this point, we meet Rob Schneider as wisecracking small-time criminal Fergie, who is the audience's way into the story.
Right, depending on who you are.
Alex, as someone who has previously collaborated with Rob, how did you feel about his presence in this movie?
Well, as my co-star in Juice Bigelow.
Sorry.
Rob's my co-star.
Golden Raspberry winning Juice Bigelow, as we established last Monday.
An award's an award. the award-winning Rob Schneider is my co-star in Juice Bigelow, European Gigolo. And so you'll be hard-pressed for me to find a bad word to say against him. Mm-hmm. And actually, I quite like, he's our everyman character into this world. He's the eyes and ears. No, seriously, I don't mind him in this bit. I'm absolutely fine with him in this bit because, you know, this isn't about him. He's not cracking wise that much. He is getting to be like, oh, look at Mega City One, which is what we're doing because it looks incredible.
But to be nitpicky, even if you can forgive police, jury and executioner, which you can't, it's hard. It's like, they're the judges. Cut to Rob Schneider. And it's like, no, why don't we have a montage of the Academy or there's something just to like ground us in this world?
I agree that I did write down the period of time between the judges and us seeing a judge is a little bit long.
Yeah.
And it's weird having Schneider teaming up with Stallone on screen just after Demolition Man, which has so many similarities with this film.
Yeah, I got really confused at points about when the sex was going to happen, which it doesn't, thank God.
Yeah.
But with the shells?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the fact that they don't make Hershey and Judge, like, thank fuck. The one where they're sat on a bed and I was like, please don't fall backwards because I can't bear to watch it, but it doesn't happen.
No, they wait to the unearned kiss at the end. Yeah. So we see Mega City. It looks pretty cool.
And it looks all right, isn't it?
The skyscrapers are taller than the Statue of Liberty, which gets you a sense of the size and scale of the thing.
Which has been moved, hasn't it? They say that it's been moved, yeah.
Yeah.
So they fly into the middle of a riot, and then Dredd rides through fire in his Versace-designed uniform. There's lots of tight spandex and cod pieces in this film, none of which feels particularly like Judge Dredd. Did you like the costumes?
I did, I have to be honest. The minute I saw Versace, I was like, oh, get you fancy pants. But I mean,
literally,
what? Yeah, you've got fancy breastplate. Yeah, I like it. I like the allusion to, well, I like a more sort of a gaudy uniform rather than something grimy. I think it looks camp and fun, and that's good. Mm. That my issue with the film is when it undercuts all that with this sort of cod seriousness. But when it's really sort of kitsch,
and you want cod piece, not cod serious.
I do. Yeah,
it is. I mean, I actually really like the way the costumes look as well.
Yeah,
but then it is exactly like you say. It's this heightened kitsch camp reality, whereas you look at Dredd, which we're obviously going to compare this to at some point, and that works because that's body armor and it's grimy and it's dirty,
like
it would be in Mega City One.
Yeah.
And it protects them as well. This is like
spandex isn't going to do anything, is
unless you shoot me in the shoulder, I'm fucked.
He rides in on his big bike and states, I am the law.
Does he put a little stabilizer out? Because I thought that ruined it a bit, like kick.
But that's a cool line. He also starts saying his new catchphrase, I knew you'd say that.
Yeah, what's
which
that?
Is not cool.
No.
Stop trying to make I knew you'd say that happen.
This whole thing, this whole sequence, this block war that we're walking into, this feels good. This is like, you know, people out of work, you know, boredom, like so many people in Mega City are unemployed, that their block wars are
great
taking
actor
place.
Leading it, James Marar.
I know.
Big fan of him.
Weird to see him there. But yeah.
Forgot he was in it. I think he was even uncredited.
He
or
is
something.
Uncredited, he's but he's in it for ages.
Yeah, and he's really good.
He is. Yes, I found some stills I'd never seen before when I was looking him up of Hibbers Hicks from Aliens before he
We got into that quite deeply.
Yeah, I just had never seen the photos. I don't think I looked them up.
Dredd gets his gun out and uses rapid fire, then uses armor piercing, then his double whammy, and he sentences Warlord to death, shoots him in the face, and then says, "Court's adjourned."
I just think, in terms of... I'm no lawyer or barrister, come to that, but court's adjourned is like when they're having a break, isn't it? It's not like the end of court. Like there must be another cool thing, like when the gavel's fallen or whatever, that you could have ripped off or lifted from the court system that's cooler than court's adjourned. Because court's adjourned to me makes me think, oh, it's a toilet break. No?
It didn't occur to me, but...
Is that right? Do they not, when after they pass sentence, do they not adjourn court?
Unbelievably, I haven't been through the British judicial system.
Bollocks.
That's a lie. Yeah, I've been to court, but magistrates is really different.
Right. It was common law, wasn't it?
All right, then we get a bit of plot.
I honestly didn't realise it was weed. I just...
We get a bit of plot. So the judges are discussing the block wars being happening because there's 65 million people living in a city for 20 million. And there's been riots. There's been violent crime. Their resources are running out. Judge Griffin, played by Jürgen Prochnow, wants a tougher criminal code that allows execution to include lesser crimes.
I love Jürgen Prochnow. He has one note in this, which is, I'm angry all the time.
I'm your villain as well. I'm your villain from scene one. So I don't think they should signpost it that much. And then Judge Fargo, played by Max von Sydow. He wants freedom rather than repression. So he's our seeming hero. And there's also a reporter who believes the block walls are part of some larger conspiracy.
Do you recognise him?
No.
It was, it's the actor who plays General McAllister, the big bad in Lethal Weapon. Mitchell Ryan.
Is it?
Because I thought he's really good. He looks like a reporter. I thought they'd actually brought a reporter in for that role.
Yeah. Then Judge Dredd removes his helmet 15 minutes in. So you've said, Alex, you're not really bothered?
I wasn't when I first saw it.
Mm.
Having watched Dredd, it works a lot better that he doesn't for the character.
Mm.
I think it's a very strange decision, knowing that Judge Dredd never takes his helmet off, in this movie to go, right, we are taking the helmet off, and then to make it such a sequence, like slow motion helmet coming off, and like, it's a big moment, and it's like, just, it's a sticky plaster thing. Bang, he's taken it off. Move on.
Or
don't linger on it.
As a plot device. You know, he takes it because he has to for some reason or whatever.
I mean, he literally takes it off like,
because it's inconvenient.
Yeah. Wait for it.
I says, look at my eyes.
There I am.
I mean, you've really got to give him a reason to take it off. And then you could almost forgive it. It's mad that it's just...
But imagine if you were a cinema goer and you didn't know Dredd and you love Sylvester Stallone. So you're going to see it for that. So that's why he's a big star, you know, you've got to see his face. But even if you were a Sylvester Stallone fan and you didn't know anything about Dredd and you didn't know about the helmet, what you're watching is your star's face, but for a really, really long time. So it looks like a massive ego trip, which is not helpful either. So it doesn't work for anybody.
No, it does not. When asked about this 20 years later, Stallone said, I never wanted to take my helmet off. Because that way I wouldn't have to deal with the pussification of applying makeup every day.
The what, sorry? What's that now?
The pussification of applying makeup every day.
All right.
That's a word I've never said before, and I've said it twice.
Said it twice. Okay.
You made me say it the second time.
Big man.
It's just a bad word, right? because there are words that I don't know. It might mean something in the makeup application process.
No, because he has to wear blue contact lenses for this film, so he's talking about looking like a cat.
That's what it is.
Yes. Great. Thanks for the learning curve, guys.
Good stuff. We meet Rico, played by Armand Assante.
Oh, my God! I can't tell you how much I love this man.
And this is the actor that Alex has been channeling.
He's doing his best Hannibal Lecter, and it's fucking amazing. It's amazing. He's in it loads. He's not in it enough.
He's not. He is fantastic in this. Yep. I mean, I sort of went, I don't know Armand Assante for any of his other work. And I feel like I should, because this is a big role. And I'm like, I guess he's just made the kind of movies I haven't seen. And I went through the list and I don't even know the names of half of them.
He's good. He plays a really good gangster.
Mm. John Gotti, right? He was in Gotti.
But it's funny. I said I watched this and didn't like it in 96. But I did watch it again 5 years ago after this sort of cult had risen up around Armand Assante and all those clips had been online. And I thought, I'd quite like to revisit this. And yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more the second time, knowing to sort of wait for him to come on and to enjoy his performance rather than be annoyed by someone who is acting quite badly.
He knows what kind of movie he's in.
Yeah, he's acting fantastically.
He's basically going, I'm a comic book character and I'm going to be a cartoon, basically, in this movie. He is fantastic. And his introduction with the guns and everything is brilliant, up until someone actually wrote a scene where you've got guns that have to be vocally deactivated. He is clearly the most dangerous man on planet Earth. And the warden comes up and goes, you got a parcel.
You've got
mail.
Something came for you. So.
Here it is. I haven't checked what it is, and I'm going to make it clear by handing it to you. And then, being the warden of a penal colony, I'm going to ask you, my most dangerous prisoner, to whom I've just passed this mail, I'm going to go, what is it? What is it? It's a gun. Fuck. Fuck. Should have seen that coming.
Well, he says, also, I think I spotted a full range of cocktail shakers in his cell. So I was like, that's fantastic. Big tick for me. And when he's like, he says, guilt and innocence is a matter of timing. That's not even true. Like, it's not, is it? That's an element of it for sure. Because time passes between innocence and guilt. But that's not true. But just that I was like, wow, that's really deep.
I mean, the bit where he shoots the warden through the throat and he can't reactivate. He's like, and the guns are like, voice not recognised. And you're like, I mean, it's brilliant. It's really dark. And you watch that and you go, at what point was this ever going to be PG-13? At what point? You can't shoot someone through the throat like that.
I've got some quotes about that, but we'll get into them after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
So Rico's escaped, and straight after that, Dredd tells Judge Hershey, played by Diane Lane, that he has a friend. He had a friend once, but judged him. So if we're paying attention, we really should be putting the pieces together here. Mm. Do you not feel like at this point, yes, Rico
I think I probably had worked it out first time. I certainly remembered it this time, yeah.
Rico goes and meets Ian Dury from Ian Dury and the Blockheads.
Yeah.
And then hits him right between the eyes with his rhythm stick. And he also picks up an ABC warrior that he turns into his personal bodyguard. And that character looks amazing.
Yes. So cool.
Genuinely, the bit where he leans into that big robot's face. Mm. What does he say to him? I can't even remember. Chilling. Weirdly chilling.
Mm.
And the eyes light up and he's got this manic grin. It's fantastic.
I've told you before, my thing about robots around this period, like Ed 209 was the scariest thing I'd ever seen. And the ABC warrior in this, maybe not up to Ed 209's level, but it's just so terrifying because it's real. Because it's this real puppet. They built it.
Yeah.
And this is, what, 25 years ago? It hasn't dated at all. It wouldn't look out of place in a modern sci-fi film.
It starts to look a bit silly when it's in that apartment later, in a fancy apartment. It looks a bit like a big toy.
Mm.
But in the pawn shop thing, it's really good.
It's weird, though, because Ian Dury, Geiger, runs a hardware shop, so he knows technology, and he goes, yeah, I've got an ABC worry there, but, you know, they don't work anymore. And Rika goes, if you plug this into this...
If you hotwire it a tiny bit, it does work.
Rico then pretends to be Dredd and kills the reporter because he's onto them.
again.
And this is where there were some issues with the rating of this movie.
I got a clip.
Do it.
Yeah, you sure?
Yeah, of course.
All right, here we go. This is Stephen D'Souza talking about that exact scene where he guns down the people.
And the door opens, and it's Armand DeSanti in Judge Dredd's costume, and then he shoots. And I type, cut to the window of the apartment, and you see flashes of light, and you hear machine gun fire. That's what I typed. So I get a phone call from Andy Vanya. She says, hey, we've got, we've assembled some of the first dailies. Why don't you come over and see them? So I go in, I'm watching the scene. The camera does not cut to the window. The camera stays in the room, and this elderly couple are machine gunned like Bonnie and Clyde and Bonnie and Clyde. And their bodies are twitching. And I go, oh my God. Oh my God, Andy, this is, we are so screwed. You just lost your PG-13 rating. And he says, no, I didn't. I said, what are you talking about? He says, there was no blood. You just saw black bullet holes on the people. That's PG. And I said, who told you that? And he said, Danny Cannon. I go, uh-huh. Well, I got to tell you, I've been doing this for 30 years, and there ain't no such rule.
Freaking Danny Cannon.
I'm getting to like Danny Cannon.
I mean, he did. Like, there's this weird thing where he basically, I think he had it in his contract or something. Like, there had been a situation where he was told he was allowed to make an R-rated movie, and then the studio basically sold it as a PG-13 to get all the toy tie-ins and the hamburger tie-ins, which they ended up getting sued for in the end, because they can't have toys and fast food tie-ins for an R-rated film.
Also, have you ever, there's always someone like this at work, not my current work, I should add, but someone who just lies. It's very unusual for someone to lie completely coldly to your face. And then when you do that thing like, oh, are you sure you've done that? And they go, yeah. You're looking at the thing they've not done. And you're like, you just don't know how to manage something. What do you actually do in the face of an actual lie? And what I do is just back down immediately. So. Well,
but if you're Andy Vanya and this is your company, the balls on Danny Cannon to look the person whose movie this is and know you are screwing them over and go, this is absolutely a rule. As long as there's no blood, we're fine. All right, you sure? Uh-huh.
Well, if Stephen D'Souza's telling the truth, right, then maybe Danny Cannon believed that.
Maybe.
I'm just trying to cover our bases here, Lee.
Sure. No, it's actually fine. You're allowed to say what you like about Danny Cannon.
So, he's really rich. I keep saying that.
Yeah. Deep, deep pockets. At least let's get our live show done. Let's go out on that.
So Dredd gets arrested for murder, and then they find Dredd's DNA on the bullets in the bodies. Dredd loses his shit at this point. He says, I never broke the law. I am the law. Mm. Sounds good coming out of Stallone's mouth in that funny drawl that he has. And then we learn about the Janus Project, which, as I said before, is the plot of Twins. But Rico was Dredd's best friend, and Dredd didn't realise they were brothers, I don't think. And then he became homicidal. He arrested him, and then he sentenced his friend to death, but he was secretly incarcerated in Aspen, where Dredd himself is now sent.
Great.
That's right, yeah. It would be
Titan. Bit of exposition.
In the comics, it's Titan. They go to the moon of Titan, but you actually can forgive him that change because obviously you can't have the moon of Titan in this.
Plus, it's maybe the one bit of satire in the film, having Aspen be a prison.
Yeah.
It's quite good. Did you recognise the voice of the computer, Central? It's quite good, isn't it? Her third voice. Well, her third appearance as a voice of a computer on this show.
What are the others?
The Thing.
Yes.
And Demolition Man.
Yes.
Adrian Barbeau.
Yeah.
Barbeau. Classic Barbeau. So we're into Act 2 now. Hershey goes through Dredd's locker and finds a picture of baby Dredd and a picture of him and Rico looking young and quite facially weird. I sent you guys this picture earlier. And the de-aged Armand DeSante as for Stallone photo is funny.
I think they look good. I honestly do.
It doesn't look real, though.
That's because I said if we were doing this at the live show, Chris and I were dressed like that, and you imagined us in that photo. That's why you think it looks good.
I was happy with that.
They didn't look like people. I want to post it on the Twitter, but I'm worried it's a spoiler. Can I spoil a film that's this old?
No.
I don't know.
No, you can't.
So Dredd heads to Aspen on Con Air with Fergie, which made me want to be watching Con Air rather than this film.
A little bit, yeah.
And this is the point. If I'm gonna pick a point where things start to go off the rails in this movie, it's now.
Too much plot.
It's totally too much plot. Also, you've built Mega City 1. It looks freaking great. Mm. Stay in Mega City 1. I don't need to see you going out to the penal colony. I don't need to see you in the wastelands.
It's what Dredd did. It's what Dredd did so well that this film doesn't do well, is they picked one very tight, simple plot and went with it for 90 minutes. Whereas here, they've taken a lot of really cracking comic book storylines and smushed them all together, and it's just too much.
Yeah.
Because Spud from Trainspotting shoots Con Air down. Was not expecting that. Yeah.
Forgotten he was in it.
Dredd and Fergie are taken prisoner by the Angel Gang of cannibal scavengers. Again, important in the comics.
Did you notice that Sylvester Stallone, who is a rock of a man, they're hanging from their wrists and his hands are purple and he's really suffering and they've been up there for ages and it's like, this is torture, this is testing even you. And Rob Schneider looks absolutely fine and he's like, am I dead? And it's like, why are you fine? But Sylvester Stallone is not fine.
Because he's got less weight pulling him down. That's why his hands aren't purple.
Exactly. Well, he's stood on a chair and he's forgotten to act.
There is a clip behind the scenes of Rob Schneider falling down a flight of stairs onto his face.
Oh.
Grim.
Was it like the Bobby Davro clip that goes around where he's in the stocks and he falls flat on his face? Have you seen that
clip?
Oh,
no, I haven't seen that. Oh, no, I don't like that.
He's in the stocks on a TV show. Lionel Blair's there.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's really awful. He's fine, obviously.
It's not as bad as that.
Right.
Oh. But he ends up with very bad bruises on his leg.
I don't like the man, but that's too much.
His own fault, though.
Davro or Schneider?
Schneider. Right. Don't mind Bobby Davro, I don't think.
So the cannibals are going to eat Fergie, but Dredd kills them first. And then Fargo shows up and tells Dredd what we've already figured out about 10 minutes before. And then he gets stabbed through the heart.
Ugh.
Yeah, Mean Machine's done really well, obviously.
Yeah.
I think he looks great.
Yeah.
He's a good character. And again, a human corpse on a spit. When was ever going to be PG-13?
That does look, and that's really scary looking.
I thought you were just going to say, that looks delicious.
No.
But if you're going to introduce the Mean Machine and he looks so great, have a proper scene where him and Dredd properly go toe-to-toe. Yep. Nothing really happens between them. So Rico gets to work now. He meets Dr. Isla Hayden, played by Joan Chen, in a severely underwritten role.
Mm. What is this tension that they have between them? What is that?
It feels like stuff was cut, doesn't it?
A little bit. So you guys know each other very well, I think. Like, what is that?
I read it as, with what limited scenes they have together, this is what my brain interpreted it as, which was that she is like, she's a bit of a wrong on herself and she is attracted to this kind of like, because of the science behind him, because he is this sort of perfect homicidal maniac, she's like torn between being in complete admiration of the science that he is.
Yeah.
And terrified of him because he is a major homicidal maniac.
Yeah, I thought she hated him and agree that she's a wrong'un who gets turned on by wrong'uns. And then when she realises his plan and how evil he is, she's really into him.
Right.
And that's why there's suddenly this, out of nowhere, this sexual tension between the two of them.
And, yeah.
And
I liked it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like real relationships. They're so confusing.
So Rico blows a bunch of shit up all over town and his robot mate takes out the judges and he resuscitates the Janus Project and accelerates the growth of a bunch of Rico clones.
Fucking clones. This is just like...
Do you not like the clones?
I don't mind them, actually.
I really like them.
I mean, I really like them. I just feel that there's so much in this movie. We've gone from shuttles crashing, you know, furnaces, Janus Project, like Aspen, and I'm just like, all right, okay, clones as well now.
So we're into Act 3, though, and as you said, there's a furnace. So Dredd and Fergie break into Mega City via a fiery vent that was then used in The Rock, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
They have witty banter, or supposedly witty banter, while being chased by fire, and then Fergie slips, and I think we're supposed to want him saved.
Oh my God.
But the film's better off if he just gets burned.
Because he literally just trips over. What?
Burn him to a crisp.
Concentrate on what you're doing. Mm. Definitely leave him.
Because
also, I know he does tech later. His thing is like, he's a hacker and he messes around with tech. And they're like, right, we need to get in through these fiery pipes. And I was waiting for him to go, oh, wait a minute, beep, boop, boop, boop. Oh, I've hacked into the mainframe, don't need to. And it's disappointing that he doesn't do that physically. And obviously they do pay him off later when he hacks the robot thing.
Yeah, but he doesn't. He just rips loads of wires out.
He just jumps in.
He just pulls wires out of its brain.
Yeah.
So I could do that. And I'm no tech whiz. But I will not have too many bad words said against my European gigolo co-star,
of course. They make it into Mega City just after Rico mows down the remaining justices, and then Judge Griffin shoots himself in the arm, framing Dredd again. So Dredd's framed third time in this film.
I mean, these framing devices, well, we're living in this is a future world. Apparently this is a future world with all this tech where you go, I've got a name badge that says Dredd on it.
Oh my God, that's such a good point.
I'm going to kill some people. That will go to trial.
That will actually go to trial. That will make it past the test, the CPS. But also, the Balthazar Getty character, what's he called? The little kid. Doesn't matter. He's like, he's their tech. He's Hershey's little tech guy. And he's like, oh, she's like, oh, we do this photo for him. You have a look. And he's like, yeah, bup, 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 bup. And he takes apart the photo. So if you've got that tech, do that with the video of Dredd and go, bup, bup, bup. Definitely not him. Mm. So there's advanced tech in this thing, but a still from CCTV will get you sent away. Madness.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense. What does make sense, kind of, is a bike chase in the air above the streets that looks kind of cool.
Also, when Rico says, I don't know which point this happens in the film, so I'm really sorry if I've missed it. He's like, no, it's going to take my DNA. So in the future, to take DNA, it's not a cheek swab, you have to get stabbed in the arm 4 times. Like, that surely that would almost kill you to drink, I don't know, take a litre of blood. That's how you take DNA in the future. No.
No. The problem with this bike chase, though, is that this doesn't feel like there's any stakes. So I don't feel emotionally involved at any point in this. And so this is the big action set piece in the movie. And I don't care when I'm watching it.
Yeah, and it's also got a lot of Rob Schneider ad-libs. Leave him alone. And which I just, it's the bit where, there's one where he's in the locker room and he goes, why are you taking his clothes off? We don't have time for this.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, fine. And then when he's on the bike and he's a bit scared, he goes, you may want to wash this seat after we get off the bike. And you're like, this is low-hanging fruit you're going for, like poo and gay jokes.
And then Rico orders his robot to rip the arms and legs off Judge Griffin, and he saves his head for last.
Mm.
I have a quote from this, but I think Alex might have a direct quote.
Yeah, this is Stephen D'Souza talking about this exact scene.
He says the same thing to everyone, doesn't he, clearly?
For last, I want to hear him scream. And I type that the robot backs Jürgen Prochnow off camera. The camera does not pan. All we see are shadows, and we hear horrible screaming and gruesome sound effects. Danny has a tremendously talented crew of puppeteers who made the robot. And he says, listen, while you're in your robot shop, make me a robotic Jürgen Prochnow.
Uh-huh.
So they made a life-size Jürgen Prochnow puppet with removable arms, legs, and head that squirted arterial blood, and they filmed that. So the movie's turned in for the rating, and it's rated X.
Freaking Danny Cannon. Unbelievable.
He's just getting shit done.
he's literally making the movie he wants to make.
He's making Dredd.
Hey, Andy Vanya, yeah. This, the arterial blood.
That's fine.
That is PG.
Because it doesn't splat, it pours. That is the difference.
It drains. As long as if the blood goes upwards, that's
problems,
a splatter.
Problems.
Yeah, you are. And if I was doing
that. And I'll admit that.
If I was doing that, that's what they say. That's what liars say. But if I was doing that, I'd understand where you were coming from. But as you can see, just draining to the floor. Very different. PG.
So they head to the Statue of Liberty. Because that's where Rico's base is, I think. We're told that Dredd destroyed his life to embrace the law, whereas Rico destroyed the law to embrace life.
Law!
I love that! I think that's brilliant!
I think it sounds cleverer than it is. But Rico does ask if Dredd just wants brainwashed judges or free-thinking humans, which is an interesting question that does get asked over and over again in the comics. But they try to examine and answer it in the comics. Here it's just chucked away.
Yeah.
And then Rico says the word law for about 30 seconds.
Law!
Law!
The clones appear and... yeah, they might be a good idea, but again, nothing is done with them. There was a scene that was deleted in which a clone squares off with Judge Dredd and then says the word pain to him, and Dredd blows him away to put him out of his misery, which would have injected something, you know, some emotional stakes into proceedings, maybe, but apparently that was cut because the clones looked all right in the room, but on camera they looked like a person in a rubber suit.
Yeah, I don't have a clip for it, but Stephen D'Souza talks about how also in an attempt to get a PG-13 rating, the clones were quite disgusting. They like had pus on them and stuff. They were like pretty grotty. And so they took them out. But again, this whole ending just feels torn to shreds.
Well, the women fight each other. They have a proper fight, though. I think their fight's much better than the blokes fighting here. And then the place starts exploding, though it isn't clear why.
Yeah,
there's no reason for it to start blowing up.
I didn't think of that.
And then they have a punch up atop the Statue of Liberty, and Judge Dredd throws Rico off while saying, "Court's adjourned."
Yeah.
Tea break. Adjourned.
See you in 10 minutes.
And that's it. Everyone knows the truth due to some kind of broadcast we don't really know much about.
That's your send all from Serenity.
They ask Judge Dredd to be Chief Justice, but he refuses as he's a street judge. Hershey kisses Dredd and then helps him with his helmet on.
Thank God. Thank God it wasn't more than that.
At this point, you do wonder whether they're just trying to make Die Hard fans as angry as possible. Not only taking his helmet off, but then kissing Hershey. It's like, what?
And then he rides away as everyone cheers. And there's not one iota of irony in his victory.
No.
Making this a failure to understand the source material so fundamentally to have this victorious climax. As you said, there was an issue with the rating. I had lots of quotes from Stephen D'Souza.
It's such a long interview, and I couldn't chop up everything because I thought three clips of Stephen was enough. But yeah, we had a hell of a time. X to X to X.
Yeah, and as you said, Burger King were not happy about it. Disney were not happy about it because they were going to distribute it, and they don't tend to distribute X-rated movies. he said it really screwed him up a few years later when he was going in at Disney to meet about The Greatest American Hero. He told Denny Geek, "When I pitched at the meeting, everything was going great. After I left, I was called up and told, 'I don't understand, it was all going so great, but the minute you left, they said, there's no way that son of a bitch is ever going to write a movie at Disney. He fucked us so bad, we were sued by Burger King and the toy company for Judge Dredd. He wrote an X-rated movie for this studio.'" And so D'Souza said he was persona non grata at Disney after that. Mm. So, should we do the bits?
Yeah.
Sure.
Vicky, what was your favourite scene?
I actually really like the clones in the lab. So with the stringy bodies, and Rico's gone like full Dr. Frankenstein, and then the screaming chews at him. I just thought this was just my favourite bit. I thought it was hilarious. And then also when Ilsa kicks Hershey in the fanny, that's quite funny as well.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. It would hurt like fuck.
Alex?
My favourite scene is when the warden visits Rico. Rico's introduction at Aspen Penitentiary. I'm just a big fan of Rico, meeting him for the first time. And I remember going, oh, I like this villain. And the bit where he just like has a gun handed to him by the warden of the prison. It's great. I'm a big fan of Rico.
Me too. My favourite scene.
You know, I never understood that. Why did you judge me? Why did you judge me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law.
Law.
You betrayed the law.
Law.
You betrayed the law.
Law.
You betrayed the law.
I've got 5 minutes of this.
You betrayed the law.
Have we got time to play it all?
Yeah.
You betrayed the law.
It's not the Magic Mike remix, though.
Yeah, but this one won't get us taken off Spotify. Yeah, it just has to be that because the cult has grown up around it. And so MVW, most valuable whatever, Alex.
It's the ABC Warrior. I didn't have time. That sounds bad. I couldn't find it. It wasn't really easily accessible. Who built it? Because I wanted to credit the team that built it. But it's just such an amazing creation, and it looks wonderful, and it's all pistons, and I just think it's fantastic.
Tied in with that, I'm going to say production designer Nigel Phelps. Mm. I don't know if he was responsible for that, but the look of the film is fantastic. And interestingly, he's just finished work on the new Thor movie.
Ooh.
Vicky.
Armand Asante by a fucking country mile. Like, you know, I have a fondness for a shouty man, New Yorker. And you know, Al Pacino's speech in The Devil's Advocate, where he's talking about God being an absentee landlord. And I think about that maybe three or four times a week. And this does tap into that in this performance. Well, obviously, it might be the other way around, but just everything about him is fucking amazing. That's that.
Okay. Alex, what would you change? That is our greatest MVW of all time, actually.
100%.
In 2 years.
There's so much to change about this, but mainly it's stay in Mega City 1. You just credited, was it Nicholas Phelps?
Nigel Phelps.
Nigel Phelps, the production designer. It's beautiful. And Sylvester Stallone talks about how amazing those sets were, that you could stand like 2 feet away and they still looked incredible. And I just think you've built all this. It looks mean. It looks like, you know, urban decay. And I want to spend all the time there. I mean, I think they shouldn't have Dredd wrongly accused. I think Rico should just arrive in Mega City 1. Hershey and Dredd are on the streets of Mega City 1 trying to track him down, find out what his plan is while he's causing chaos. They're one step behind. But do it all in there. And with all due respect to my Juice Bigelow, European Gigolo co-star, I don't know that we need Rob Schneider. I think it's a strange decision to try and have a sidekick for Judge Dredd. But mainly, stay in the freaking city.
I mean, Judge Dredd here has a sidekick. She's called Judge Hershey. Mm. You know, it's like Anderson in Dredd.
Yeah.
There is a sidekick, so we don't need a comic relief. Vicky?
Make Rico and Dredd identical twins and let Armand Asante play them both. I mean that.
It's good. I mean, we love him. I love him. Don't know that he was going to sell a movie back then.
But then you would have seen it and been like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And it would have been fine.
I'm wondering how the creators of Judge Dredd would feel about that performance.
But it would be better, though, wouldn't it, than what we've got. Like, I mean, I don't hate Sylvester Stallone at all. Like, you know, Rocky, yes. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, yes. But I know.
That was a weird pull. I thought you'd say Demolition Man.
Or Cliffhanger.
I do love Cliffhanger. Yeah, you're right. And Demolition Man, but this is like Sandra's film for me. But the only good Sly moment for me, not the only good, that's unfair, when he's hanging off the Statue of Liberty and he looks at his brother and he says, don't miss. And it's like, that's fucking amazing. Like, your voice is perfect there. The rest of the time, when he's like, oh, I had a friend, but then I judged him. And it's like, me, me, me. I don't care. I just don't. And I'm just, Armand Asante, it just blows everything else away. Like, I think it's his film and I think he should do it twice.
My change, I spoil, because I said have him take off his helmet for a reason. Obviously, don't have him take off his helmet, but have him have it for a reason. So I've got to come up with something else. I'd really like to see a feature-length behind-the-scenes documentary of the making of this movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because there's a 20-minute behind-the-scenes made at the time where everyone is happy and having a good time. And that clearly wasn't the case. And there's obviously a story to be told here. So make that happen, someone.
All right.
And that's that.
Judge Dredd versus Tank Girl. It's time for the verdict.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
So my movies, I get to decide who goes first. Chris.
Okay. Tank Girl. Anarchic. Visually inventive. Spot on performance from Laurie Petty. But it gave me a headache and felt less like a movie and more like a music video and not a very good one. Meaning I was quite relieved to be watching Judge Dredd straight after because it felt like a coherent movie with an actual plot. But then I had to compare them. And reading around both productions, it's clear that Tank Girl stayed as true as it could to the source material as the filmmakers could get away with, whereas Judge Dredd couldn't give a toss. So because the people who made Tank Girl seemed to actually care, and because they crafted something approaching an actual Tank Girl movie, I've got to give it to them.
Ooh, Tank Girl gets one. All right then, Victoria.
So Tank Girl is a mess for not being what it wanted to be, but at least it is just silly. And I think if you didn't know what you were missing in the comics, which I didn't when I saw it for the first time, it is still possible to have a good time. And Dredd at points is just painfully bad because it's trying to be earnest. So I think since The Dark Knight, obviously for the last 12 or 13 years, you want a Dark Knight the shit out of everything because that changed the template so ginormously for loads of properties, but for, you know, for telly even. But once you've had that version of a superhero story, that's what you want. But it wasn't like that in the 90s. It was much more sort of popcorn-y and bright and lurid, and we didn't need this sort of dark intensity from our heroes and villains. But the trouble is, I think Judge Dredd tries to aim for that level of intensity and seriousness, and it just misses so much. Like you said, Armand Asante knows what film he's in, and Rob Schneider shouldn't be in this film, and I don't know what Sylvester Stallone is up to. So I think you can say what you like about Tank Girl, but it's not earnest. And I think if it's going to be a mess, you can't take yourself too seriously. You can't flip-flop. So Tank Girl.
We have a winner. Tank Girl is the winner. For the record, just to complete the trilogy, I'm surprised at myself this week. I agree a lot about what you've said, Chris, because Judge Dredd is a movie. Like, it has a plot. Yeah. A weak plot, a dull plot, an overcomplicated plot, but a plot nonetheless. It fits the basics of what a film is, in there is a narrative to follow, there's a story. And Tank Girl doesn't. But damn it if I'm surprised that I'm voting this way. But Tank Girl, that musical scene alone and the energy and hidden underneath studio meddling is the beating heart of what could have been a fucking great punk movie. And I think it earns the right to be the winner this week based on that alone. So it's a 3-for-3.
Girl power!
Yay!
Tank Girl is the winner this week. I mean, also, of the two, I don't think I'm going to watch Dredd again, Judge Dredd again. I think I might.
Just watch the clips on YouTube of Armada Sunday. It's fine.
I think I might watch Tank Girl again, though. At some point. You want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah, great. Get the beers in. all right, then. That is us done. Congratulations to Tank Girl. That is our winner this week. Another quick mention. Our live show is on September the 4th at the King's Place, which is very near King's Cross Station here in London town. We would love you to come along and watch the biggest, most intense clash we've ever done. Howard the Duck versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's going to be big. Going to be some special things going on that night. We want you to be there. You can get tickets from the London Podcast Festival website, and also all the details are on our Twitter at ClashPod. Chris, tell us about what we're doing next week.
So my clue was Good Boys in Blue, and the films I am going with. Alex, you've got Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
No, I'm not in that one.
Because Vicky's got European Jiggle. No, I'm joking. We'll never do those films. Alex.
Never say never.
Alex, I'm giving you the film Turner and Hooch.
Okay.
Meaning Vicky's got the film Canine.
Lovely.
We're doing a twin movie for the first time in ages.
Yeah. It was going to be Dante's Peak and Volcano, but,
but we can't.
We're never doing that. all right, then. That is your homework. Canine versus Turner and Hooch. Are they available everywhere?
Yeah.
Great.
Turner and Hooch. Turner and Hooch is on Disney Plus.
It's only funny because he's the one who goes, yeah, are you going to say where they're available? Because I do that
every week. Remember last week, he was like, I literally can't believe you've told people they have to buy a film.
No, he was telling people they could download it illegally.
I didn't say that. You're just so triggered. Yeah,
by
you
piracy.
See piracy when there is no piracy.
You know you did.
I didn't say that. I said you can probably find it as in charity shops where there are DVDs.
See?
What are you saying, see?
So full of it.
Unbelievable.
You have to listen to him, Vicky. Yep. He's sneaky.
Piracy is a crime. Do not accept it.
Would you steal a car?
Yes. That was what I was in court for.
Great. So Turner and Hooch is on Disney Plus.
Yep.
And K9.
It's available to rent on Amazon.
Great stuff. So those are our movies. If you want to find out what else is going on in our lives, not really, just about the movies that we're covering. I was trying to find an interesting way to segue into visit our Twitter if you've got time, at ClashPod. It went wrong. Also our Instagram at ClashPod. And also do subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. We'll be back on Monday talking...
K9.
Really? K9 came out first? It's Turner and Hooch. Are you certain?
Don't know.
You asked me and I said K9. We're doing it first.
So we'll be talking about Turner and Hooch on Monday. I'm rolling the dice on that one. See you then. Bye-bye.
This was a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner.
Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.